Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to On Texas Football. I'm Bobby Burton, your host, joined today by Jerry Hamilton, On3 national football recruiting analyst, as well as Inside Texas contributor. How you doing today, Jerry?
Good, Bobby. Here we go. Junior days are starting, day away.
Yeah, one day away, you know, but strangely, we're going to take today and not really focus much on junior days. We did the two previews of that earlier this week, one for offense and defense. What I wanted to talk about to you with you today is the portal and where Texas is at. We've talked about this subject so almost it feels like until we're blue in the face. But with each ebb and flow or each movement of the roller coaster up and down, it seems like there's something new to discuss because it is so new overall, right? I mean, especially in this category, I wrote an article for Friday morning about Texas and obviously the big news coming out yesterday that Isaiah Nayor, the wide receiver originally from Arlington Lamar, went to Wyoming. Only scholarship offer was Wyoming. He finishes last year with 44 catches for 878 yards, 12 TDs passing, added another on the ground. He was their big play threat in the air. He decided to commit and enroll at Texas after previously committing to Tennessee and also considering Ole Miss. I know you went up and saw Margin Hooks earlier. Was it either earlier this week or last week?
Last week.
When Nayor first went on the market, really. You went up there to check him out. What was your impression from Margin during that? What does this commitment mean to Texas? Anything you want to add to what is already known out there?
Yeah, I think Nayor was a huge commitment in signing for Texas. Look, at first I'll get into what Margin Hooks had to say, and second I'll get into why I believe it. Margin thinks, you know, I don't want to necessarily put words in his mouth, but I think he thinks this is a guy that has a chance to be a draft pick. You know, he's 6'3", 6'3 and a half, 210 pounds, absolutely can run vertically, yes. But I think what has impressed Margin and what Margin's working with him on is he has really good hip flexibility. He can get in and out of cuts for a big kid. And I think that's the differentiator for these big receivers, right? I mean, you see a lot of these guys, Bobby, who are big receivers, they're really only vertical threats, right? When it comes time to sink your hips and get in and out of breaks and create separation, that's not really their strength. I believe Margin working with this kid believes this kid can do that better than most big receivers. And Margin's not one to BS, you know, he'll tell you what he believes and what he sees. And he thinks the kid has a very high upside. And I obviously think that's true. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Why I believe this is so big for Texas though, is you now have two receivers that combined for what 1900 yards last year. And I don't care if they were played at Wyoming or not. That 900 yards in the West Coast Conference will transfer over to the Big 12 Conference because you have better players around you, right? And if you average 20 yards a catch, you're a playmaker at any level. I think that's huge because, you know, the thing that to me has really hurt Texas the last two seasons is Troy O'Meara has not been able to stay healthy. And that's a big difference maker receiver, different player than Nayor, but – you can now line up Nayor the opposite side of the field from Xavier Worthy, or you could use Xavier Worthy in the slot on the same side. It just gives you options. And the key now is if they hit on Brennan Thompson, you suddenly have three receivers that are playmakers. Brennan Thompson, you'll be able to use his speed on nickelbacks, right? And you can have Worthy and you can have Nayor out wide. It suddenly gives you a lot more options. It suddenly makes Quinn Ewers or the quarterback a better player. It makes Bijan Robinson a better player. It makes your left tackle a better player is what it does. So I think it was a huge signing for Texas. And it's absolutely what they needed. And I'll be honest. I know they went after Mario Williams. Nayor's better. for Texas. Naylor's a better player than Mario Williams for me. Mario Williams is a guy who I think is really good. Don't get me wrong, but I'm not sure his as Mario gained weight, he's retained the same explosiveness. With Naylor, he's just going like this right now. I think this was a better fit for Texas with Naylor, and I think he's going to bring more to the table immediately to Texas.
You know, you mentioned injury to Omir, and don't forget about Jordan Whittington's injuries.
Right. Right.
You know, so that really handicapped Texas's offense a year ago when he went down. It felt like the glue left the building, right? You know, right. The pages of the book that were opening just got, you know, fell out.
Bobby, and now you're playing with house money with a guy like Omir. If he does come back and he's 80% of what people thought he was, suddenly now you've got a lot at wide receiver.
Yeah. Yeah. Did Margin have a comp for Naylor?
He's not really a comp guy. No, not necessarily. He just looked you in the face, say, this guy can play, and here's why. Yeah. You know.
So if people are unfamiliar with Margin, Margin is a wide receiver trainer out of the Metroplex area, played high school ball at Waco High.
Yep.
Signed with BYU. A friend of mine recruited him to BYU, a guy named Brian Mitchell.
Yep.
Brian played it was also from Waco High and played DB. I think Brian's now at either – I think he's at North Carolina State as the defensive back coach, but long story short, long history there as a receiver in training.
An All-American, right? And a guy that, you know, had a cup of coffee in the NFL. But what Margin, for those people that aren't familiar with him, why he's really good, in my opinion, is, you know, look, there's a lot of guys that are out there as trainers and instructors. Now, I think that I've come across about three, four guys in my years doing this where I said, these are legit another level guys. And Margin Hooks is one of those. Nathan O'Neill's a defensive line trainer. I think Kevin Murray's phenomenal with quarterbacks. I think a guy named Ken Mastroli's great with quarterbacks. But what makes Margin so good is, you know, when you watch a workout, these kids never leave a workout. They don't take one thing with them. They get two or three things. And it's the way he communicates and the way he gets his point across. He just has he is great at it from a technical perspective and really teaches the kids. And he works with those kids through video as well, breaking down their games for them, breaking down the routes. But so he's a complete guy. He's not a guy that's just out there making money off of kids and families. These kids are getting a hell of a lot better with him. And I think that's important to note.
For Texas fans, part of the importance here is that Margin was an early teammate of Steve Sarkisian when right. Sarkisian was an upperclassman. I think he was a senior when Margin was a freshman at BYU. So they played together and have that familiarity. Additionally, Margin is seems to be friendly with
Brennan Marion,
the new wide receivers coach at Texas. So Isaiah Naylor becomes the fourth portal pickup for the Longhorns in this class of portal to join Quinn Ewers, Ryan Watts, and Jaleel Billingsley, the tight end from Alabama. Obviously, a quarterback, a wide receiver, a tight end, Jerry. The offense is being addressed. Now there's only one defensive player at this point, but they are recruiting Latavius Breeny, the safety out of Georgia, O'Shawn Mathis, the defensive end out of TCU. It looks like Jalen Moody, the linebacker from Alabama, is putting his name or taking his name out of the portal and going back to Alabama. So they've done some good on offense. What are your takes on what they've done on offense thus far through the portal?
Well, look, I mean, I really believe the next 2 years of Texas football are going to come down to how well Quinn Ewers plays on the field or the quarterback position in general. But I think I'll take Quinn to win the job. I think that's going to be, I mean, massive and where this thing goes at Texas under Sarkisian. I don't think there's any way around that. I'm not trying to be negative or positive. We'll see what the kid does. It's up to him to get it done on the field. I think Naylor is huge for Quinn Ewers and for those possibilities. You know, I'm a little more skeptical on Billings. I think he's a very talented guy, obviously. He's a guy that should play in the NFL one day in some capacity. You know, look, I want to see it a little bit more from him. I think I know what you're going to get from Naylor. I kind of like what I know about him. With Billingsley, look, I mean, Nick Saban gave him every opportunity to be the guy, and he didn't end up being the guy. So he's still got a lot to prove to me, because Nick Saban knew he was his most talented guy, but he didn't end up being his guy. And so Billingsley's got something to prove to me there. But I do think from an athletic standpoint, it's an upgrade, obviously, from what Texas has been playing with, but it's going to have to be consistent for it to be a real difference for Texas, I believe.
I wonder so much, and I don't disagree with you having skepticism. I think that that's healthy amount of that is always good, right?
Yeah.
The issue I have is, was he not a good fit for Bill O'Brien's offense vis-a-vis that of Steve Sarkisian's? And I think that may be where O'Brien liked to play guys a lot more in line. And so Latu is clearly the guy that eventually won that job at Alabama, clearly a better inline blocker than Billingsley too.
Yeah. So. I agree with you on that. I think that gives Billingsley a chance here, but I also kind of remain the same, is that Nick Saban generally doesn't let the great players walk out of his program. guys that are doing all the right things and keeping him happy.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong. The defensive side is different, though. We talked about that. So O'Shawn Mathis, I feel like, can be what I use the term bellwether. He could be the difference maker. He could be the edge guy that Texas so desperately needs. They just got no sacks last year, effectively. While he was not a sack master last year, the year before he was, I think he had 9 sacks when he was a sophomore, and 4 last year. Both would have led the team at Texas in both years, by the way. I think that he could be a key recruit, but you're still looking at safety. You're still looking at linebacker. Is there concern there that they're not connecting on defense yet? Or are they actually connecting and we're just not counting Mathis as a commit yet?
I think let's assume that Mathis follows Gary Patterson to Texas. Okay.
That's a big assumption, to be clear. We're not typically making that.
Right. So let's assume that happens while we're talking about this, because since he's not a January enrollee, there's a long time and a lot can happen. But he's instantly the best edge player in the program. I mean, he's right there with Nayor for me. I mean, after Quinn, right? He's right there as far as a guy that he helps you get another win next year. So I think you add a win with Nayor, you could add a win with Mathis, suddenly you've added a couple of wins there as far as, you know, just guys that are better than anybody else you have in the program and can make an impact and can help you. If it's that fourth quarter sack on 3rd and 17 and you close out a game, well, he helped you get the win. He's the difference in a win. And I think he's that level player. And I think obviously he's a guy that has NFL prospects. I think a linebacker is kind of my concern. Breeny, we'll see what happens with him. That would be a huge addition, obviously, just to have the experience at safety and a guy who's not just experienced, but a really good player. I think linebackers, something I'm looking at with Texas, they need to add a really good player at linebacker. And that appears to be kind of where they've missed out thus far. But I will say this with the portal. We talked about this last time we had the conversation, Bobby, is there's going to be more kids jumping in the spring. So there has to be a level of patience. You don't just take a player, but they do need to address that position.
And we use this term run stopper, we use the term off-ball linebacker. They need a run stopper.
Yeah.
They need somebody that from tackle to tackle actually can stick their nose in, diagnose, and get the job done. Right now, I mean, Luke Brockemeyer was just a lot of times he tried his heart out, but day late and dollar short. Overshown is not that physical between the tackles. It's not who he is because of his size. Yes,
hey, Bobby, you'll love this. So I was at Maid Creek yesterday to see Tayshawn Wilson and a couple of young basketball kids over there. And Rashad Bobineau is the D coordinator at Maid Creek now. And I'm going to have this interview with him on Inside Texas either today or tomorrow. And we talked about pretty 6'3", 220-pound long-arm linebackers that run fast 40s that have zero instincts for the position. Yep. And this is to your point, what you're talking about. I asked Bobbino, would you be signed by Texas today? In today's recruiting landscape, now being a coach that sees recruiting, he said, absolutely not, no chance. And while Bobbino wasn't an All-American player, an NFL linebacker, he is what you were talking about. He had instincts. He had toughness. He was rugged. He would step in and take on blockers, and he made plays without making tackles.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that he says, no, Texas wouldn't have taken me today. And he said, we got to get out of, and he's talking in recruiting in general, looking for this beautiful 6'3", 220-pound guy with no instincts. He said, because Nick Saban and Georgia are getting the guy 6'3", 220s with instincts. He said, so just thinking you're going to get some 6'3", 220 guy that can run and looks pretty, you're going to make him a linebacker. He said, it's not happening. It's the instinctive, rugged position. And I think he's right.
Or safety like Tyler Owens. Right. Yep. I mean, it comes down to something very, very primal. Yeah. And that's the ability to see football on defenses is a very, very valuable thing. David McWilliams, the former Texas coach, once used the term seeing the game with your eyes.
Oh yeah.
He really appreciated it. I talked to him about recruiting a long time ago while I was in school there. And he mentioned to me that he felt like the eyes of a defensive player were probably the most underrated aspect in recruiting, like what they see and what they can do.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Bobby, that's 100% true. Herm Edwards at the Under Armour game, I was associated with that for so many years. He would tell these kids, if you can't play with your eyes, you can't play for me. Period. When he was the coach of the Under Armour game. He would say that to every defensive back. If you can't play with your eyes, you can't play for me in this game.
Yeah. Let's go forward because I don't want to bemoan that fact. I do want to say I think they're having some issues on defense. I don't know the depth at which yet and if we're getting a true sense of it because we don't know the reality of Mathis at this point. Breeny is still available. Let's table that because right. I think that's not fair to necessarily judge one way or the other. The third thing that I brought up today, and this is really where I wanted to get into your take. This is Steve Sarkisian and his staff did it during football season, during regular recruiting season with the high school kids in December. He waited. He didn't overextend offers. And I say this on the precipice of Junior Day occurring tomorrow, where they're apparently going to have as many as 100 kids there. At what level, Jerry, do you think this strategy of him holding and waiting for the guys that he actually wants and not dropping down to that next level actually pays dividends? Is it something that's sustainable? Is it something that is luck? Or is it a process that he's actually working through and is working for him? I think there's many questions that you can take off of that. And is there an overriding feeling you have on it? Is it a mix? I mean, what are your thoughts?
Well, I think first of all, and this is not anything negative, is if you win on the field, it's going to look like great strategy. If you don't, it's not. I mean, let's be real.
Well, because that's my point. They went 5-7 and it worked.
Right. Right. Now, I think, you know, they caught some good breaks there at the end of this class too with the coaching carousel, right? And you have to have them. So you had to have them when you're coming off a 5-7 season. So here's to me is what it's going to boil down to is I like the strategy. I really do. I think it's the correct strategy. And now they got to win games on the field for it to maintain, I believe. Because if you don't ascend to 8 wins this year, you may not have that same luxury at the end of the class that you had this year. I like the strategy and where it's headed. Now they have to do their part on the field. But let's also say this. This is one thing that's going to be interesting for me in 2023 is I don't believe in state. It's always a good year in Texas. So I don't want any kids, parents that watch this to say I'm saying it's not a good year in state, because it always is a good year in the states of Texas and Florida in high school football and prospects. It always is. 2022 was a special class in Texas. You're going to have 6, 7, 5 star kids in that class. 2021 was amazing in a lot of positions. I think 2023 is a little bit of a fall off from that. So the point is, if you're going to have if that's your strategy, it may be more out of state in some instances in this class than it was in the last class. When it's great years in state, I think it affords you some luxuries. When it's a little bit of a down year in state compared to two great years in a row, your strategy is may have to move outside the state lines a little bit more if that's what you're going to do, because those other kids are going to commit to other places, right? So I think that's, but I like the strategy on the surface. I do. I think that's the only way you're going to descend to where, I want to say where the coaching staff wants to go, where the Texas fans, where everybody wants Texas to go, is by getting the best players. Look, if people don't believe that, you know, the highest ranked recruiting classes on average the last 5 years have been Alabama and Georgia. They go after the best players.
Yeah,
and they don't play for the national championship.
And they both have advantages in their home state that are distinct in power areas of the country. Yeah. So the Southeast clearly provides the not the majority, but the largest percentage of any region of the country to
players. I mean, and Bobby, let's talk about this. I mean, to that strategy, Lincoln Riley's going to have the same strategy in California. There's a reason USC has been down. The best players, Kayvon Thibodeau, goes to Oregon. He's about to be a top 5 draft pick. That guy's worth 2 wins a year at USC. So, yeah, you got to get the best players. And I think that is – the strategy is correct. It's now about executing that strategy on the field, not just in recruiting. You got to become a cool school again. You have to become a cool school in recruiting. That's very important with these kids nowadays.
And you got to win to do that.
That's right. You have to win.
Win, or a person has to win a big trophy.
That's right.
It happened with Ricky Williams
100%.
Right out of the gate for Mac, and that really helped him. I think that – I guess my next question as we discuss this for you is you mentioned out of state, and my brain immediately went to Shard Choice offering a couple of running backs in Florida in addition to Reuben Owens, right? Brennan Marion, the receivers coach – offering a couple guys out of the northeastern area of the country, Pennsylvania. Those were interesting early offers for Texas that wouldn't perhaps have happened without those two prior relationships, right? Mm-hmm. Flood obviously came from Alabama. He's got some prior relationships. Bo Davis has recruited, he recruited 4 defensive linemen from 4 different states. So
right.
He knows how to do that. I wonder if that's not part of the game this year, right? To your point, like, and at what level do you drop down out of state versus in state? That's an interesting question for me, because I don't know that I have there's not an easy answer there. Like what is the next level that you drop down to? I don't know. It's just something else to consider. Where are you at right now on the junior day as it comes in right now, and how many offers and or commitments that Texas might get out of it?
I could see 2 or 3 commits come out of it, because I think there's going to be some offers extended. I think especially at the edge position, it's obvious they're bringing in a lot of guys on the edge, and I don't think that's a position you're not going to bring in that many guys and not try to get a kid or two in the boat or extend a new offer to. So that one's pretty just experience doing this. That's pretty obvious where that's headed. I mean, look, Oklahoma offered Colton Vasek yesterday. There's now some added pressure on Texas to try to get that kid in the boat. Now, wherever you think about him, whatever level of prospect he is, Oklahoma was the first offer. Oklahoma offered the Brockermeyers before Texas. That just shouldn't happen if you're going to take a kid. And I'm not saying Vasek's the level of Brockermeyers. He's not as a prospect. But I'm saying with the Texas legacy kids that are good enough players, when Oklahoma starts offering them before you do, that adds a little pressure to the
game. I just wonder if they haven't been holding out this entire time for this
other
day. You know, I think that they probably made that
decision. I think that's what's happening. I think they probably know.
I think that they
– it's different than the Brockermeyers, which is just a messed up recruitment by Tom Herman.
I agree. I think this is more of a, okay,
right.
You showed it. Now let's figure out when this needs to happen, as opposed to, you know, the center not getting an offer, but the tackle getting one, and maybe you talk to the – center about playing, being a preferred walk-on. Meanwhile,
Kurt Ferentz offered him on the drive home.
Yeah.
He's the best O-line evaluator in college football.
I get what you're saying. I don't think there's necessarily – I guess my take on this discussion, Jerry, is, you know, you get the whole idea that he's going to continue to not drop down.
Right.
And to continue staying this course – is it's to be determined.
Yep.
And now he's done it twice, though.
Right.
And so it can be, do it once and you're lucky, do it a couple times, right, and all of a sudden it's a thing. Right. And so you're saying that, it's on the right trajectory, but it ain't there yet. He's got to do it for a little while longer for you to think that, hey, this is the way it's going to be.
Yeah, and I think I like where they're headed with it. I think the winning on the field is going to be so important for them this year. I think when a coach comes in, sometimes they get that first hiccup, and because recruiting kind of went their way at the end, they signed the top five class. So when you do that, that kind of gets you past the on-the-field hiccup. Now, you don't get another hiccup on the field, though. That's not the way this works. So the strategy I like, but now they have to do their part on the field, because I can guarantee you don't get two hiccups. Right. These coaches don't have that big window anymore, and especially not when some others are ascending around you. It just doesn't work that way. So the wins have to come on the field, and I think they know that. I mean, we're not saying anything they don't know. I mean – if they thought they had all the pieces, they wouldn't have gone and got Quinn Ewers and Nayor and all those guys. So they know they have to win now. They could have taken other high school kids, right, and developed them, but that's not the way this game goes anymore.
All right. Just a programming note for everybody. Tomorrow, Saturday, is Junior Day. Inside Texas will be there. There should be a ton of prospects, a ton of news coming off of that.
Well, let's address that real quick. So there will be over 100 kids on campus, right? That doesn't mean what we've been talking about, we shouldn't expect a lot of offers out of this. I think this is part of an evaluation process. I think this is a lot of this is the new coaches on staff making good relationships, solid relationships with high school coaches. You know, you're bringing in four kids from one high school. Texas isn't offering all of those kids. But you know what? That can help those kids' recruitment get jump-started just by being invited and being at the junior day. So just for the fans, just take all that in and understand what this is all about. It's part of the evaluation process. It's also part of doing good as the University of Texas coaches for high school coaches in the state of Texas.
Gotcha.
And that's big.
So from a programming note, though, we will have extensive coverage of that tomorrow. Jerry and I will probably be talking about it on here on Sunday. If not, I'll be talking with Eric Nalin or Justin Wells or Hudson Standish, who are going to be there. We will definitely keep you guys up to date. Thanks for listening to this extended edition. Hope you enjoyed the discussion with Jerry Hamilton, On3 National Recruiting Analyst, as well as Inside Texas, and myself, Bobby Burton. That's been this edition of On Texas Football. Thanks.